Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We're going to do what we're reading about in just a moment. As you're turning to Hebrews, there are two strains or major lines of thought of what the purpose and the intended audience of the book of Hebrews. We know they're Jewish people. One of the things that's fascinating is if you get to the second to the last verse, it actually gives a clue in verse 24 of chapter 13 of Hebrews. It says, those from Italy. And that's why about half of all the Bible commentators believe that Hebrews was written to the church that was just at the front leading edge of the Neronian persecutions. If you remember, there were three eras of persecution of the church. The first one was just kind of like sporadic. Really, it was Nero just had so many problems. He was trying to distract people from his problems. And he basically started picking on the Christians and in the city of Rome and martyred probably a great number of those that are named in the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, because that book was out there. And if you can imagine that book named the believers in Rome, the primary ones, about 30 of them. And so probably those people were rounded up and hunted and everything else. But the book of Hebrews probably was going to those believers, probably in the area of Rome. And most likely they were facing what it's talking about here. The suffering, and some were in jail and they were visiting them in jail. And some of them were backtracking on their faith. And so think of a church in a hostile country, a church in a place where it was very difficult to, even as Marcia said, they don't know the rules and they don't know if they, you know, are going to be illegal or whatever. That's what was going on here. And so the writer of Hebrews, and that's another mystery other than the Lord, who he chose to communicate this magnificent, the Greek of this book is phenomenal. This is an amazing communicator when you look at how it's laid out. But the message is so timely for us, because we might still be in a free country, and a lot of people think that the election means everything's great for a while, but probably it's not going to be great for a while. We already know that the world is on a slide away from God. We know that things are not getting better and better, because we've already read the ending. They're going to get worse and worse and worse. More deception, more religious, not only hypocrisy, but horrible error. And as that comes, there's going to be pockets, even in our country, where it's going to be increasingly hostile overtly against the church. So what was the solution? Chapter 10. And look at verses 24 and 25. What we see there is that the church was called to this, that every time they had the privilege of getting anywhere near each other, most likely until about 313 AD, the church always met in homes. So most likely there was a home somewhere in Rome that this group met in. And when they were on their way, and as they saw each other, the writer of Hebrews says, consider one another, how to stir up the people that you are coming together with to love and good works. So let's read verses 24 and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why would that be? Two reasons. The hostile environment for Christendom, and it's not easy to do that. It's hard. Did you know it's easy to coast along and not get real close to anyone and not know their problems and not share yours and not have anybody asking you any questions and not asking anybody any questions? It's kind of like going through life on cruise control and not having any bothers. But when you start doing this, that's when the one another's take place in the scriptures. The bearing one another's burdens and rejoicing together and sorrowing together and exhorting one another and admonishing one another. And admonish is not negative. Admonish is the idea of nousetheo. It's nous, mind, tithemi, place. It's to place on people's minds the truths of the scripture. So that means we have to know the scripture. We have to know specific scriptures for specific needs. And we listen to people and we understand what they're going through. And then we place on their mind a scripture that the Lord, through his Spirit, brings to our mind. So it says, don't forsake, verse 25, the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, because probably of the persecution. Some perhaps of the discomfort, but most likely of the hostility. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Many of the people that most likely got this epistle were involved in the horrors of what Nero did. Today, every time you see, and I've told you this many times, but every time you see the Colosseum in Rome, you know, it's a global landmark, a World Heritage Site, and all of that. When you see that Colosseum was built by Vespasian, the emperor, over the lake that was Nero's palace. Nero had a palace with a giant lake, and he illumined the lake with torches. And during his persecutions, he burned alive Christians. He wrapped them in animal skins, dipped them in tar, and burned them as his lights around his pond where the Colosseum is. So those people, they saw the day approaching, and the day was the day that Christ would come for them, the day Christ would call for them, the day that they would see him face to face, and for them it was on fast forward. And so that made these verses very intentional. So what are some ways that we can do this? How do you stir up one another for God? Well, the old basics are just going through, and we did this last month, so we just review the basics. We, to be healthy, need time listening to God. We have to feed on his word. This is scripture reading. Now, in the Bible times, they didn't go to, Zondervan or Lifeway or CBD or whatever, U-Bible or whatever app. They had to go where the copy was that someone could read aloud to them. And they would hear the scriptures read. They would take notes. They'd try and remember it. We have so much. And just seeing my Bible there and thinking of how many we have at home, God said, to whom much is given, what? Much will be required. Do you realize there is very possible the people that we're reading about in Hebrews 10 didn't know all the different parts of the Bible. They had never heard all of those parts. They didn't have a copy of all those parts. They had to go to the synagogue if they were and most of these were of Jewish background, and wait for it to be read, taken out of the scroll bar or box and rolled and read to them. And we have all of God's word, every word of God that's pure. We have it. We tote it. We carry it around. We have multiple copies. We have it on electronic devices. And we hear endless discussions about it. And so it's almost become, like Marcia said, that those people, the why people, put Christ and everything else on the same shelf. The Bible seems to be equal level with everything else, with the news and with media and with entertainment and movies and games and music and hobbies and sports. And if we don't get this, it's okay. Those people were desperate to hear God's voice because they wanted to listen to him because it's the word of God that encourages, that sanctifies, that illumines. And so we need to be feeding on his word. Time applying his word to my life. That's scripture memory and meditation. You can tell what someone is seeking to have God do in their life by asking them, what are you meditating on? What scriptures are you memorizing and meditating? As I said this morning, on Thursday night, we had one of our Bible study groups over. I meet with the men, but we had all the couples over. And they were all packed in our house. And the assignment was what we're doing tonight. Open your Bible to the last place that God was ministering to you. And when the night was over, Bonnie said, honey, could you text them all? I'd like a copy of those. Each one were such a powerful application of God's word to their life. And they were applying it to theirs, but it was a blessing. It was encouraging. It was stirring. It was edifying. It was admonishing to us. So, scripture reading, scripture memory that leads into meditation. This scripture memory, Bible study is like getting the ingredients together. Scripture memory is like cooking the meal, and meditating is like eating and digesting it. Some people just assemble the materials. Other people cook all the time, but they just give it to someone else. But we're supposed to assemble the materials, cook them, and eat them. And see, this is the life change here. What you're meditating on, that's what's so dangerous about, you know, Pinterest living. If you're meditating on everything you wish you had, if you aren't satisfied with what you have, you'll never be satisfied by what you want. You understand that? And so what we meditate on is what is feeding our and transforming our life. And some people are only meditating on material things, on physical things, on what sensual things, whatever. But we're supposed to be listening to God and then applying it and allowing him to transform us, but that's only half. We're supposed to then talk to God. Prayer is without ceasing. It's just how reflective of what we heard from his voice, reflective of what we're meditating on, we just begin talking to him. And we begin having this relationship with him based on his word, knowing him, and communicating with him through his word. And then we start talking to others about God. It becomes natural. If you've ever been around anybody selling anything, they're so good at it. They come up and they say, "Hey, boy, you look really nice today. Boy, that's a beautiful car. By the way, would you like a better car?" And they go right into their little, you know, "If you come with me and we will make you successful," and all that. You talk about what's real and gripping in your life. And God says, "I want you to, through your communion with me, to have me to be so much a part of your life that you can naturally talk about it." And that reminds me of these little invitations. This whole season of hope and this whole idea, when all the world wrestles with chaos, our hope gives us peace. Join us for the season of hope. And it just goes right into the gospel. And we're coupling these with, we actually have thousands of Gospels of Luke now to give out, to help people get started. I mean, there was a visitor in the visitor line this morning after the second service, and I said, "You read the Bible?" "No." And I said, "Well, we have this 21 days. Some of those are left over from our Easter outreach." And they were thrilled to get that copy and to help get them started being in the Word. So we talk to God and we witness. So this leads us to, how do we stir ourselves and others? By talking aloud among ourselves about these things. We talk aloud among ourselves about what we're eating. What are you reading and feeding your soul upon from God's Word? And we just go around and say, "This is what I'm eating." And then what are we chewing on? Basically, out of our reading, in fact, at one of the Bible studies, someone came up to me and they said, "I notice that you have stuff all different colors in your Bible. Why is that?" And I said, "Every time I read the Bible, these are the things that I want to meditate on." And so I have, I have a yellow highlighter for what I call the verses that really impact my life. And some people probably would highlight the whole Bible, but for me, I know what I need to hear, and those are all yellow. And did you know there's something on every page? Something, even you can find something in Chronicles and Leviticus and everywhere else where you see God at work in an area that stirs your heart, encourages your heart, blesses. So what are you chewing on? What are you memorizing? What are you meditating on from God's Word? And thirdly, breathing. Prayer is like breathing. What are you praying and beseeching God for? And when you think about it, especially when you're married, the Bible says, "If any two of you agrees touching anything, I will do it." And have you ever thought what two people on earth ought to be more in agreement than anybody else? Couples. And the Bible says if a married couple doesn't get along, what did Peter say? Your prayers are hindered. Do you know what that means? Peter assumed every married couple was dynamically connected in prayer. And you understand that whole concept is just such a foundational understanding of what marriage is. A marriage is a total spiritual agreement for a husband to reflect and live out the role of Christ, for the church to reflect, or for the wife to live out and reflect the role of the church, and for those two to be absolutely in agreement in their prayers. So what are you praying and beseeching God for? not only the short term, but the long term. One of the churches where Bonnie and I served for many years, there was this pastor who had the most antiquated prayer journal. It was one of those old three-ring binders with those that paper that they always sell, you know, in September, that, you know, the three-hole punch lined paper that they'll sell reams of 500 of it. I mean, how antiquated in our dynamic, you know, electronic world. But this elder carried that funny notebook around with him all the time, and he just had pages and pages, and he'd talk to people, and he'd say, he'd go, and he'd go, "How's your aunt? Is she listening to gospel yet?" And people would go, "How do you know that?" And he says, "Well, June 17th, you know, 2011, whatever the date was, you mentioned it, and I wrote it in my journal, and I pray through this thing every day." He became a magnet with his funny notebook of people wanting to get in there because he was breathing out before the throne of God. And you know what happened? People began their own prayer lists. What are you praying for? If you know what you're praying for, others will be wanting to join you and see what God will do. And then finally, going. Who are you seeking to share the gospel with? So what are we going to do tonight? We're going to practice the fact that we were never designed to do all this stuff alone. We were designed to do this together. How do other believers help us? They exhort us. They stir us up. When we're connected to them, when we communicate, that's how we show the caring. Do you know what many people... Dennis Root, who we're going to have tonight at the end, our induction of new members, he calls people that no longer attend Calvary. And you know what many of them say? "Huh, it's about time you called. We haven't come for 6 months. And no one said anything to us." Do you know why? There's no intentional meanness going on around here where everybody's trying to see who they can neglect. When we're not connected, when we're not communicating, we don't experience, we don't feel that caring, that love of Christ that is expressed. So what are we going to do tonight? We're going to practice stirring ourselves in groups of, you can have any size group you want. But we're going to do these four things. We're going to leave them up there for you in your group. And let's all stand right now. And everybody stand. And at 7:05, you're going to hear me pray and be cooperative. We have to induct our new members. But find a group of people that look safe. Move toward them in a size that you can hear each other. Go around and everyone talk about what you're eating. Then go around again, what you're chewing, what you're breathing, and what you're going. And you don't have to stand up. After you find your group and get situated, sit down and go until 7:05. Have a wonderful time. Let's pray and ask the Lord to use this stirring for his glory, and then we'll meet our new members tonight. Father, thank you that in a little way we've been able to experience the joy that your church has had since its birth. Thank you for the Spirit of God living within us that unites our hearts and makes us closer with brothers and sisters in Christ than even we are with our own physical family that doesn't know or love you. And I pray that this stirring tonight will help each of us to take someone else's life and burdens, blessings and trials with us, and that we might care for one another, that we might reach out to one another, that we might be connected to one another, and through that, see you build us up so that we can even more fully love and serve and follow you. Thank you for letting us gather. And I pray that you'd encourage these new members of Calvary Bible Church tonight as we meet them. I pray that we would get to know enough about them, even in the greeting line, that they can get imprinted on our hearts and that they will feel like they've just been welcomed into your family that you have built in this place that we are a part of. And we'll thank you for all that. In Jesus' precious name, amen.